World Trademark Review podcast, turning trademark law into business sense.
Welcome to our latest podcast. I'm Tim Lintz, a reporter at World Trademark Review, and today we will be focusing on the upcoming EU referendum in the UK, or Brexit as it has been dubbed. On June 23rd, UK voters will go to the polls to decide whether to remain within the European Union. The issue has been a hot topic in the UK for a number of years, fueled primarily by rhetoric surrounding immigration and whether being a member of the EU undermines national sovereignty. Unsurprisingly, the effect that the UK leaving the EU will have on intellectual property has not been part of the debate in political circles. But for trademark practitioners, both in the UK and internationally, there could be some significant changes if the UK votes to leave. Arguably, the most significant is that the UK may no longer be afforded the trademark protection by both EU trademarks and EU designs, which has implications for attorneys in the UK and brand owners everywhere. Related to that is that UK-based practitioners may no longer be able to represent clients before the EU IP office, potentially impacting working models and revenue streams. These are just two of the effects a Brexit could have. The UK's Institute of Trademark Attorneys, ITMA, last week added its 2 cents, or 2p as it would be known in the UK, to the trademark perspective of the Brexit, with a report on what it foresees as the specific issues and challenges that UK and international trademark practitioners could face should the UK leave the EU. We therefore decided to find out more by talking with Chris McLeod, a partner at Elkington & Fife in London and the current president of ITMA. So let's take a listen to what he had to say. Chris, thanks for taking the time out to discuss this issue with us. To add some background to the discussion, are you able to explain why ITMA decided to add their input into the possible impact for trademark practitioners of the UK leaving the European Union, and why now?
Absolutely. We received feedback from numerous members that clients and other contacts had been asking them about the matter, and that members wanted us to make a public statement. Of course, we had been discussing the issue internally since the announcement of the date of the referendum. And whilst it's not possible for anyone to predict with accuracy what will happen, we felt that it was important for ITMA to show that we had been considering the matter and the possible ramifications in depth, and for ITMA to provide information to our members. But we are clearly not in the business of campaigning to stay in or leave.
I guess the headline figure, or the headline impact, should I say, in terms of the UK market, is that the country would no longer be covered by the EU trademark or EU design registration. So for brand owners who don't have a UK registration and who may currently be relying on an EU trademark to protect their activities in the UK, what is the practical impact of this?
That answer requires, I think, an element of crystal ball gazing. But clearly the practical impact is that the UK Intellectual Property Office, in conjunction with the EU IPO, would have to formulate a proposal for conversion, transformation, or some other means of nationalisation of the UK elements of EU trademark registrations, international applications, which would retain the date of protection of the EU trademarks, and the same would have to apply to EU registered designs. Looking into the future, there would presumably be a finite period for doing so, but I would imagine that the IPO would create an official form for the purposes of processing these applications, because it would certainly involve a considerable amount of work on its part.
And are there any benefits that a EU trademark offers that a national UK registration doesn't, and therefore they may potentially be lost?
Well, I would certainly expect any converted UK applications stroke registrations to have the same scope and date of protection as the EU trademark from which they would be separated. There are obviously clear benefits to the EU trademark low-cost protection in all member states, being a prime example. But a national registration, particularly in the UK, is generally quicker to obtain. You've got the shorter opposition term, the reduced likelihood of absolute grounds objections, primarily because of the lower number of potential earlier rights and applicable language-based objections. So I suppose it's, in a way, it's losing something that is federal or splitting it up, seems to me a benefit which may not be that tangible once you've divided off your UK parts of those rights.
And it also sounds a bit like that it'll potentially increase pressure on budgets as brand owners from both the UK and elsewhere, having to ensure that they'll have a UK registration in their portfolio should they have to consider what's happening if the UK is no longer protected by the EU trademark rights. Is that something that you would agree with?
Well, I think it's inherently true that if you're considering brand protection in key territories, the UK is going to be one of those. And if it's outside the EU, you would need a UK national registration. So yes, it will affect costs. But as I said earlier, the overall cost of obtaining a UK registration is relatively low. So whilst you can't deny that it will increase costs for brand owners, the overall increases would be relatively low.
And would you think, in a sense, that if brand owners have to consider the UK no longer part of the EU trademark system, that it could potentially lead to an increase in Madrid filings, because it would be another country that those considering a Madrid filing will get protection in? So therefore, it may be a good thing potentially for WIPO, who are constantly trying to raise awareness and use of the Madrid system.
Yeah, I think the Madrid is an existing, not a threat, but it's an existing option for centralizing your trademark protection. However, in the UK, we have lived with the Madrid Protocol for 20 years. So whilst you may see companies designating the UK as part of their Madrid applications instead of filing nationally, effectively that option's been open to them already. And we, as practitioners, it hasn't really affected our practice. We still receive instructions, for example, to deal with objections to UK designations and also to EU trademark designations. So I think the Madrid, they may well promote it as an alternative to UK national filings, but it's always been there. And if you have an EU trademark and need to convert or otherwise transform into a UK following an exit from the EU, then the Madrid really doesn't help you there. So,
and another major effect for UK-based trademark practitioners that ITMAR mentions is that it's unlikely that they will be able to file EU trademarks or designs because they will no longer be able to represent clients before the EU IP office. It sounds like a blow to trademark practitioners in the UK. But how big a blow is this in terms of work and income?
I hate to sound like a broken record, but it's difficult to quantify with accuracy because of the unknowns. We don't know what the fallout would be if there was an exit. But the amending regulation, which has recently come into force, does provide for EEA-based practitioners to be authorised representatives at the EU IPO. So if the UK remained linked to the EU via the EEA, then UK practitioners would still be able to represent clients at the EU IPO. That being said, most UK practitioners, I would think, interact with the EU IPO on a very regular basis. And I mean weekly at least, if not daily. So I think it may well have a negative effect, but there are counterbalances, and you know, as a result of everything being unknown, it's hard to put any concrete numbers around that.
And as you mentioned, it's that aspect is certainly a potential negative. But do you think this restricted ability to act before the EU IPO could be potentially offset by an increased demand for national registrations in terms of both work and income?
Yeah, I believe that there would be a flurry of work if the UK were to exit. So the conversion, transformation, or whatever it's called, would result in a spike of work for UK practitioners. And I think there would be an increased number of direct UK filings downstream of that. So I think there would be an offset, but it's hard to foresee to what extent the loss of EU IPO work would be counterbalanced by that.
And another result is that the UK court system would no longer have EU trademark courts. Would this be a blow to those seeking to forum shop for the best venues?
I think arguably that this would be a blow to those seeking to forum shop. The UK court system, I think, rightly has a very good reputation, but other courts in the EU can be cheaper and quicker. If you look at the example, for example, of the German courts, you can obtain an injunction very, very quickly, and that can be community-wide. Not to say that it's particularly robust, but that is an option that would potentially go out of the window, yeah.
Another prediction that ITMAS notes is that a Brexit could lead to UK trademark and design law diverging from EU law over time. What positives and negatives could that mean for Trademark Council?
I think the answer depends on your view of the judgments that come out of the General Court and the CJEU, at least to some extent. It is reasonable, I think, to state that judgments of the UK courts are generally well-reasoned and robust, and that if they were not open to reference to the CJEU and the need to frame UK court judgments around the case law coming from the CJEU, we could see greater legal certainty in the UK. And that for me would be a positive. As to negatives, I think being out of sync with the EU could lead to a reduced legal certainty for brand owners when they consider the UK. And the further negative, I think, would be resolving how and to what extent the UK courts would and could decouple themselves from EU jurisprudence. There is a huge body of case law, and someone will have to decide how, to what extent that continues to be applicable in the UK, if at all. You can see a divergence of views on that, I think.
So I guess there's been both positives and negatives that you've mentioned today. In ITMAR's report online, it states that from obviously a purely trademark and designs perspective, that the UK leaving the European Union would be a, quote, cause for concern and lead to a great deal of uncertainty, which obviously a lot of what you've said, it does seem to be the case. So from a more practical standpoint, is there anything that trademark practitioners, either in-house or at firms, can do right now to prepare? Or, as I guess we'll know the result in a few months, is it more of a case of wait and see at the moment, as I'm sure there'll be a transition period if the vote is to leave?
I think this one is, when I was considering the answer, I thought that Nostradamus himself would have had difficulty answering that. But on a practical basis, I think there is at least arguably some merit in recommending filing in the UK and at the EU IPO now, at least until after the 23rd of June, because as I said before, the additional costs are not large. But the flip side is, I think it's also reasonable to delay any wholesale review of IP portfolios covering the EU until the outcome of the referendum is known, because you may find yourself doing a lot of work which becomes unnecessary.
Right, so I guess it's a little bit of a wait and see, though I guess if you're a trademark practitioner that wants to be super proactive, then you can consider filing in the UK now and seeing what happens in the future.
Yeah, as I say, the additional costs are not huge. There are always budget constraints, but it might be a sensible course of action. However, if you think it's only a month and two and a bit months until the referendum, then I think a review could reasonably take place afterwards. There is an element of self-interest in promoting dual filing until there is certainty, but it's not an unreasonable strategic proposal, I think.
I think it's going to be an interesting couple of months. World Trademark Review is based in London, and we're hearing lots of arguments on both sides about seemingly every type of issue. So I feel like we're adding to the debate from the IP side of things, and I really appreciate yourself and ITMAR as a whole adding in so many points of view to this for the trademark community to consider. So thanks a lot for talking to us today.
My pleasure.
As you just heard, the Brexit is a sensitive issue, and there is still a lot of uncertainty about exactly what will happen and to what timescale should the Leave camp prevail. Similarly, it is hard to identify all of the potential positive or negative effects for the trademark community. As Chris said, making definitive predictions would require a crystal ball. Of course, should the referendum lead to an exit, there will still be plenty of time, years probably, for brand owners to get their house in order and make the necessary changes needed to ensure effective protection is in place in the UK. And for law firms too, to consider the impact on their current business models. Like the Scottish referendum 2 years ago, when the people of Scotland voted on whether to remain part of the UK or go independent, there were millions of words written about the possible effects of independence, including articles in our very own World Trademark Review magazine. The Scottish people decided to stay in the end, so all those considerations did not come to pass, and the same could happen here. In 2 months' time, we will know for sure. Thanks again for listening to the World Trademark Review podcast. If you're interested in all things trademarks, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or just head to worldtrademarkreview.com for our latest news and features. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, and we'll be back soon with another episode. Until next time.
This has been the World Trademark Review podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and be sure to follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, or Facebook for the latest news and updates. Thanks for listening.